This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Friday, June 3rd. Good morning and welcome back to hour number two of Morning Air on this first Friday. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Our producer is Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us coast to coast across America. It's good to be with you on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Today is day 8 of the traditional Pentecost novena to the Holy Spirit as we continue to reflect on the 9 days that the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Apostles spent in prayer between Ascension Thursday and Pentecost Sunday. Today, the Catholic Church also honors St. Charles Lwanga and his companions, martyrs of Uganda. St. Charles Lwanga was burned at the stake on June 3rd, 1886. It was the Feast of the Ascension, and his example inspired other persecuted Christians to refuse to deny their faith. I want to bring in our Relevant Radio News anchor, Glenn Leverance. Glenn, what are a few of the big stories that are making headlines this hour?
Well, mass shootings on so many minds here, and the president spoke very passionately about that last night. Is Congress looking to try and advance a bill next week, starting with a House committee looking to increase the minimum age for buying guns, at least the assault style rifles, to at least age 21, one of the interesting points in the president's speech, saying that the Second Amendment to the Constitution is, quote, not absolute, John.
What is your take, Glenn? How do you think those words are being received across our nation?
Well, a lot of people are very sad about what happened, I think, trying to figure out the right way forward. There are a lot of people not willing to give up their guns or wondering what's the best way to keep bad guys from disobeying the law anyway, in regards to guns. And so this will be tricky. It's been politicized for years and years and years, and the House may have some votes next week. It doesn't look like the Senate probably has enough to do any significant gun legislation changes.
And as we talked about earlier in the week, it seems that no matter how tough the gun laws are, especially in cities like Chicago and Philadelphia and Baltimore, there are shootings every single weekend. Last weekend, there was 50-plus shootings here in Chicago alone with 9 killings. And yet, this doesn't seem to get the same attention as the mass shootings.
It's bad in all cases, and some are, John, just getting started, and we know that means a lot more activity, a lot more criminal activity, it seems, in regards to guns and the like in our major cities. And so we really need to blanket this situation in prayer, for starters.
No question. I think prayer is definitely part of the answer to this very difficult situation. We're expecting a news jobs report this morning any minute now, right?
Yeah, it should be coming out within the hour here. If folks are praying for a job, it looks like the job market's still going pretty strong, although we're still over a million jobs short of the amount of employment going on in the U.S. before the pandemic shutdown of some 2 years ago. So we're getting back.
On a lighter note, NBA Finals Game 1, the Boston Celtics on the road stunned Golden State 120-108 last night. The Celtics with a huge barrage of three-pointers, a 17-0 run in the fourth quarter, as heard on ABC Sports.
Horford for the lead, got it! Wide open Horford for three, and they caught the rotation. Brown from downtown! White for three. He's made every important timely shot for the Celtics in the last couple of games. Back to Horford for the lead. Boston up by three. Horford with the offensive rebound. Wide open Smart. Cash! And the Celtics have stormed ahead.
They were hitting so many 3 points, I never thought it was going to end, guys.
Well, they took a page right out of the Warriors playbook. The Splash Brothers are usually the guys that are known for the three-pointers, but the Celtics had quite a barrage of their own.
Steph Curry had a great game, but it just wasn't quite enough. A great team effort from Boston. And I was thinking, as all those threes were dropping in, it's like if you're out in the driveway as a kid playing horse, you know, and everything is going in, that's just like it was, no matter how far back those three were. And a great example of passing and ball movement as well on the part of both teams. But crazy game. And I know, you know, as a Minnesota Timberwolves fan who actually made the playoffs this year, lost a couple games. They had big leads. And so this whole postseason, John, really seems to be a matter of one team getting on a run and then the other countering. And whoever has the ball last is the winner.
Basketball is a game of runs. Game two will be Sunday at Golden State as the Warriors will try to even up the NBA Finals. As always, thanks so much, Glenn.
You're welcome.
I want to remind you that June is the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It's a month in which we always honor the Immaculate Heart of Mary as well. Those two hearts are connected. This month, in honor of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, let's pray for an increase in the virtues of humility and holy purity to strengthen family life and marriage, especially during intentions at Mass every day and during the Chapel of Divine Mercy, as well as the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky every evening here on Relevant Radio. We begin every hour in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit every morning here on the show, and we pray, come Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I want to just take a moment to remind you that this is the last week. In fact, this is the last business day that you can get Father Rocky's new free book, The Memorare Moment. Our world desperately needs our Blessed Mother Mary's help right now. So join us today at relevantradio.com/moment with this new free book to learn much more about this prayer and why praying the Memorare right now can change history. In fact, I'm so excited. I got my very own copy yesterday of the Memorare Moment, signed by the author and my boss, Relevant Radio CEO, Father Rocky. Mary, the Mother of God, always points us to her Son, Jesus, and praying the powerful Memorare prayer always invokes our Mother's intercession. So let's take care of business this morning. Act now. Final copies are going super fast. Sign in this morning at a Memorare Moment, and you can get your very own copy of this powerful prayer, 30-second prayer that will change your life and the world at relevantradio.com/moment. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from John 14:26. Jesus the Lord says, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to your remembrance of all that I have said to you." Our Lord Jesus Christ promised to send the Holy Spirit in his name. Let's receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit on this eighth day of the Pentecost Novena. The gifts of the Holy Spirit have great power to penetrate hard human hearts. In our confirmation, the Spirit gave us the gifts of wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. Receive and exercise the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we always pray with great confidence the prayer from the Divine Mercy Chaplet, Jesus, I trust in you. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, while we profess our belief in the Trinitarian God in the Creed, does our belief affect how we think, how we talk, and how we act? Today, we're going to take a look at how the Holy Spirit guides us on a daily basis. Looking at our lives, let's consider how the Holy Spirit is present, in what ways we can open our hearts to his inspiration and practice what we preach. Joining us now live is Father Paul Canariato to discuss the power of the Holy Spirit in daily life. Father Canariato is the pastor of the Church of the Assumption in Emerson, New Jersey, in the Archdiocese of Newark, and is a Morning Air contributor. Good morning, Father Canariato. Welcome back to Morning Air. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you. What a blessing.
Good morning, John. Good morning to all our relevant radio family this morning.
Father, can you explain to us why the solemnity of Pentecost is called the birthday of the church?
Yes. Well, you know, Mary and the apostles were gathered in prayer in that upper room, and they were praying, and that's a very important thing. And as they prayed, the Holy Spirit came down upon them. And they, of course, they went out into the streets of Jerusalem and began to proclaim the gospel. And it is, in a sense, the birthday of the church, because that's when the apostles went out and began to fulfill their mission. And the mission to be church is to proclaim the gospel. And they went out and they became a visible presence in the community of faith, active. And it's continued on, of course, to our own day. So it is, in a sense, our birthday, as it's called, because the church was born on that first Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, and they went out into the streets to proclaim the gospel. And that's what being church is all about, making the gospel known.
And Father Canariato, the same Holy Spirit that gave Peter and the apostles boldness, and you know, they had no more fear after they received the Holy Spirit to go out and proclaim the gospel, that same Holy Spirit is available to us today. Can you talk about why we all need a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit?
Yes. Well, that's the most exciting thing. The Holy Spirit has been given to us, that very same Holy Spirit that was given to those apostles at Pentecost, was poured out upon us at our baptism and our confirmation. But I know a lot of us, when we receive this gift of the Holy Spirit, we're very young. And so we need that fresh anointing from time to time to pray, "Come, Holy Spirit, and renew me, renew my life. Give me a fresh anointing of your Spirit." The Holy Spirit is always willing to be poured out anew upon us, in deeper and deeper anointings as we grow deeper and deeper in our journey of faith, in our spiritual journey. The spiritual life is a life of progress, and we're called to go deeper and deeper as the years go by in our life. So as we go deeper and deeper in the spiritual life, we need to pray, "Come, Holy Spirit, give me a fresh anointing so that I can do what you're calling me to do in my life." Our lives change from year to year, and we are called to different responsibilities. For example, in a family, someone's called to be a mother or a father, to embrace the sacrament of marriage. Somebody may be called to have a new job. And so, "Come, Holy Spirit, help me in this moment to be the best that I can be, to be your disciple in this world today, to make you known, to do what you ask me to do, to be your eyes and ears and hands and feet in the world."
Father, do you think that for many of us as Catholics, it's so easy to forget about the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity? Can you talk a little bit about it? We touched on this last week, how we are called to live not by our own power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit in our everyday lives.
Well, I guess it's human to want to do things on your own power and strength, to will, "I can do it all by myself, I don't need anybody else." But in a sense, we do need God, and we who are believers need the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus poured out the Spirit upon the apostles, because he knew that they couldn't do it on their own human power and strength. They were all hiding in fear in the upper room. But they got that boldness and courage and confidence to go out into the world and begin to proclaim the gospel. And in being guided by the Holy Spirit gives us the words to speak. When we don't even know what to say, we say, "Come, Holy Spirit, give me the words to speak in this particular situation I find myself in. I need your power. I need your strength. I can't do it on my own." And so we need that power every day. And we're called to invoke that power on a daily basis, to be with us all the time. And so the Holy Spirit is meant to be active in our lives. We know the Father. We know the Son, and we continue to develop our relationship with them, but we need the power of the Spirit, which is their Spirit, the Spirit of the Father and the Son in our daily lives every day, and to guide us and to show us the way forward.
Father Canariato, Pope St. Pius X, way back in 1908, wrote a beautiful act of consecration to the Holy Spirit that always inspires me when I renew my consecration of the Holy Spirit. And Cardinal Mercier also said that devotion to the Holy Spirit was the secret of sanctity. There is so much power for us available. All we have to do is tap into the Holy Spirit and consecrate ourselves to the third person of the Holy Trinity.
Yes, that's all we need to do. I became more conscious in my own life of the Holy Spirit's power when I was 17, and I prayed for a deeper release of that Spirit to me. And I began to experience that power in my life, and it led me, of course, to embrace the Catholic priesthood. The power of God is real, and it's something that we want to tap into on a regular basis in our daily lives, and to realize that through this baptism of the Holy Spirit, as it were, we can have that greater understanding of the mysteries of the gospel and then proclaim that in our daily life each day. God is faithful. He promises his Spirit to us, and he will give us all the graces we need in our life every day to empower us, as he empowered the early believers. And that's so important to continue to pray then ask the Holy Spirit to continually be poured out upon us. He wants to give us his grace. He wants to give us his mercy. He wants to give us his love. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, he does that for each of us.
The Holy Spirit is called the gift of the Holy Spirit. Can you talk a little bit about why the Holy Spirit is a gift that just keeps on giving to us?
Yes, it's a continual gift that is given to us in the church. And now by the continual, it's always available. It's always available. The Holy Spirit is always at the ready to come to our assistance at any moment. At any moment, God is listening. And we can say, come, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me to know what to say. Help me to know what to do. Show me the way. When we don't know what to do, the Holy Spirit can guide us and teach us and show us the way. So it's always available to us. And that's why it's a daily gift that is given to us on a regular basis so that we can be the people he calls us to be. You know, when you think of the apostles, they went out into the world and they didn't know what they were going to confront when they went out into the streets of Jerusalem. And they had to deal with a lot of difficult things and they experienced persecution for their faith. But yet the Holy Spirit showed them what to do. The Holy Spirit showed Paul and Barnabas where to go. The Holy Spirit shows us where to go and what to do and how to do what he asks us to do. He never leaves us alone. The Holy Spirit never leaves us alone. He always gives us the grace necessary on a daily basis.
And Father, for those who may have missed our discussion from last week, can you briefly kind of summarize a little bit about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how they apply to our lives?
Well, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are there for us. And we can read them, and of course, as we think about them, for example, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and all the other gifts, we can ask God to pour those gifts forth into our lives, to let those gifts become manifest in us, to become real in us. Lord, I need your wisdom. I need your power. I need understanding. I need counsel. I need fortitude. I need strength. I need to be more holy, so give me the gift of piety. I want to be in awe of you, so give me reverence and respect for you in a deeper way. We can ask the Holy Spirit for his gifts in any moment, and the Spirit, again, will, through the gifts, help us to do what we need to do in the world today in our daily lives.
And St. Paul reminds us that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. We can have the Holy Spirit literally dwelling inside of our souls.
Yes, and that's the reality, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit lives in us. And it's so important to recognize that that's who we are and to have that expectant faith on a regular basis, that to realize that the Spirit is always there to give to us what we need in every moment. Because, again, God sees us with an eternal, he sees with an eternal vision, and he sees us, and he knows exactly what we need at every moment. He created us, and he redeemed us, and he shows us the way to help to go forward in our faith, and it's there for us to help us to be the people he invites us to be.
And the Holy Spirit is also there in the sacraments. You can't separate the Holy Spirit from Christ, obviously, who we receive mm-hmm. in confession and especially in mm-hmm. the Holy Eucharist.
Absolutely. The sacraments are the doorway. So as we receive, go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation on a regular basis, as we receive the Eucharist every Sunday, and even daily, perhaps, those sacraments, again, are the ways in which the power source of the Spirit comes so directly into our hearts, minds, and spirits, so we can be all that Jesus asks us to be as his disciples.
Father, a final thought as we approach the great feast, the solemnity of Pentecost this Sunday.
Well, I would just invite everyone to join in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, renew the face of the earth and renew me. Give me that fresh anointing. Come to Pentecost with expectant faith that God will do just as he promises, that he will give us that fresh anointing. I invite everyone to pray for that fresh anointing of the Spirit as we gather this Pentecost Sunday.
Well, I really appreciate your perspective and your teachings on the Holy Spirit the last couple of weeks, Father Paul. I really do, and thanks again for being with us.
Oh, you're so welcome, John, and God bless you and all on Relevant Radio, our Relevant Radio family.
Thanks so much. Father Paul Canariato, the pastor of the Church of the Assumption in Emerson, New Jersey, in the Archdiocese of Newark. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Catholic evangelist Martha Fernandez-Sardina, the founder of RememberYouAreLove.com, will explain the meaning of no Pentecost, no love. Stay with us. There's much more to come as we continue talking about the power of the Holy Spirit here on Morning Air after this short timeout. You know, we receive over a million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor can support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states. And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us on this first Friday morning. Now, this coming Sunday, Catholic Christians across the globe celebrate the great solemnity of Pentecost, something that we've been talking about for days. Our resident loveologist and love lady, Martha Fernandez-Sardina, is with us to share what it means to say no Pentecost, no love. No Pentecost, no love. That is no N-O versus K-N-O-W. Martha is an international bilingual speaker, the former director for evangelization for the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. and San Antonio. She's also the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com. If you want to be part of the conversation, our number is 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Good morning, Martha. Thanks so much for being with us. Great to be with you once again.
Good morning. Great to be with you, too.
Martha, what do we celebrate on the solemnity of Pentecost this coming Sunday?
Well, we celebrate the descent of the Holy Spirit on the apostles and the other disciples who gathered with the Blessed Virgin Mary in the upper room in Jerusalem. And we celebrate what most consider the birthday of the church, when and how it all started after the Lord's resurrection and his 40-day show and tell, right, before between Ascension and Pentecost. And we celebrate the fulfillment of Jesus' promise, which we spoke about over the last few weeks, that he asked us to stay in Jerusalem. And he said, you will be clothed with power from on high. Talk about wanting power. That's the only kind of power that we should always aspire to have. and even pursue and exercise freely and daily that power from on high, which is the Holy Spirit. So we celebrate the beginning of the greatest era of evangelization. Clothed with that power, he said, "You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, even to the ends of the earth." So imagine these concentric circles that go wider and wider and broader, reaching farther and farther away, even to the very ends of the earth. And reaching also, the gospel, reaching into the very depths of the human soul, of the soul, even of the hardest sinner. And that's why we must always evangelize in the power of the Holy Spirit. So on Pentecost, we're celebrating all of that. We're celebrating the spread of the gospel, the planting of the one true church on every continent, the outpouring and the infilling of our hearts with the Holy Spirit, which is the love of God, and that marvelous showering, outpouring of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which invite us also to grow in virtue and to cultivate and foster in our lives the fruit of the Spirit. So with the Holy Spirit, John, into our lives, we see again and again how God the Father loves us and how much the Son loves us and how much God the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, loves us. And not only do we have, as the disciples had, Jesus walking beside us, but now out of love, we have God living inside us, as we see in the scriptures that the Lord wants to come and make his dwelling within us. That's why I say that no Pentecost, no love. You don't have the love of God in your heart, in the world, in the church, in our marriages, in our families, friendships, in our parishes, dioceses. But if we know, K-N-O-W, Pentecost, we will know love. We will come to know the love that God has for us. We will come to know the depths of the love that God has for every human being. And we will embrace that love of God for ourselves. And we'll embrace that love of God for every other human person, born and unborn, young and old, good and evil, pleasant and unpleasant, friend or foe. And that's why we'll be able to love our neighbor as ourselves, and even to love our enemies as Christ has loved us. And all that is thanks to having a personal Pentecost, having the love of God poured into our hearts, along, of course, with faith and hope and charity. They go together.
Something that St. Paul writes so eloquently in Romans 5. Can you talk a little bit about what we need this Pentecost and going forward?
Well, I think that we, meaning I, you, the church, the world, we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit, those that are expressed in Isaiah 11, which we receive and through baptism and especially through confirmation. They are solidified within us, the gift of wisdom, so that we might despise the perishable things of the world and aspire only after the things that are eternal, as we say in one prayer. We need the gift of knowledge so that we might know God and know ourselves and grow perfect in the science of the saints. We need the gift of understanding to enlighten my mind with the light of God's divine truth. We need the gift of understanding and knowledge, and we need the gift of counsel, ever to choose the surest way of pleasing God and gaining heaven. We need fortitude. Oh boy, do we need fortitude, so that we might bear our cross with Christ and overcome with courage all the obstacles that oppose my salvation. We need piety, which means to find the service of God sweet and amiable, something that comes naturally to us, that's not a burden. And of course, we need the fear of the Lord, which means to be filled with a loving reverence toward God, so that we might dread in any way to offend God, to displease God. And when we have these gifts, again, of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, fortitude, piety, and fear of the Lord, we're made into a totally different type of Christian, a different type of person. So we need those gifts of Isaiah, but we also need, I need, you need, the church needs, the world needs, the charisms and the gifts of service that we see St. Paul talk about so beautifully in 1 Corinthians 12, when he says that he doesn't want us to be unaware, uninformed about the spiritual gifts, so that we are not enticed and led astray to idols. And he says that he wants us to know that it's only by the Holy Spirit of God that anyone can say Jesus is Lord. And no one who has the Spirit of God will ever say, let Jesus be cursed. So this is a very important set of gifts. We need to have the Holy Spirit within us so that we might proclaim Christ as Lord and never to curse the name of the Lord. And the variety of gifts that St. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12 and the variety of services and activities includes wisdom, faith, knowledge, healing, miracles, performing miracles, right? The gift of prophecy, the gift, one which I love, the gift of discernment of spirits, and also the gifts of tongues and interpretation of tongues. And he says that the Spirit allots these, distributes these to each according to how the Spirit chooses. And we're one body, John. So just like we can't say that eye doesn't say to the foot, I don't need you. We can't say to one another, I don't need you or I don't need your gift, but rather we are all one body. We drink of the one Spirit, he says, and we are members of the body and even members of one another. So we need all the gifts, and we're not all, he even says, we're not all apostles, we're not all prophets, we're all, not all teachers, but we have these apostles, prophets, teachers, people who have the gifts of healing, of different forms of assistance, different forms of leadership, different types of tongues. And all of these are summed up in the most beautiful of all gifts, which is what he calls the most excellent way, which is love. And we see that, of course, in 1 Corinthians 13, the gift of love. And boy, 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 do we need that these days, along with the other two theological virtues of faith and hope. That's very important.
Martha, that is a mouthful. I mean, there is so much that to be taken in to learn about the Holy Spirit that most of us just are just not that aware. And yet, there it is, the Holy Spirit in what you're sharing with us, the power of the Holy Spirit. How is the coming and working of the Holy Spirit in our lives related to love? Your favorite topic, something we talk about every week here in our Remember You Are Love series.
Because precisely the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, as you reference in Romans 5. And just as St. Paul says right there in 1 Corinthians 13, we must pursue the most excellent way. And he says that even if we were to speak in all the tongues of angels, even if we were to have the gifts of doing all sorts of miracles and anything, if we have no love, we are nothing. If we don't exercise love, we are nothing. So he says we need to ask the Holy Spirit to give us that gift above all. And that's a love that is patient, love that is kind, love that is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude, a love that does not insist on its own way, that is not irritable or resentful, that does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. That's very important. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And he goes on to say that love never ends. And now, St. Paul says, we have faith, hope, and love. These abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And so we know that it's all about love. When we celebrate the Lenten season, when we celebrate the Easter season, which is now culminating and closing, when we go into ordinary time, and order our lives and order the weeks of the year toward the celebration of the mysteries of our faith, we know that this love of God is so important. And Pentecost allows Christians to become whom we are meant to be, men and women whose hearts are ablaze with the fire of God's love, a love that is as tender and gentle as that of a mother and as strong and steady as the love of a father. So that love of God allows us in the Holy Spirit to live under the Lordship of Christ and to love Christ and to love others and to exercise the fullness of the gifts of the Spirit in our lives, even with tough times, even with the weight of the cross on our shoulders.
Well, Martha, we're going to continue to talk yet more. There's much more to talk about here when we talk about the Holy Spirit, which we're going to celebrate in a big-time way this coming Sunday with the Solemnity of Pentecost. I want to open up our phone lines. If you have a special devotion to the Holy Spirit, if you've been praying the Novena to the Holy Spirit, we're on day 8 of the Novena. We're taking your calls for Martha Fernandez-Sardina, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break. We'll continue our discussion with Martha. Stay with us. There's more to come after this. Come God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. That's from St. Paul in Romans 5:5. Welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for joining us as we continue our discussion about the upcoming solemnity of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit and its connection to love with a Catholic evangelist and the founder of RememberYouAreLove.com, Martha Fernandez Sardina. Martha, we were talking about the connection between the Holy Spirit and the topic of love that we talk about here every week, and we have yet more to break down. Let's continue with what St. Paul has to say in Romans 12.
Yes, and besides Romans 12 and 13, which we touched upon, he also in Ephesians 4 talks about these various gifts and charisms and works of service. And he mentions there something that for a lot of us, sometimes it's hard to kind of exercise, but he says in Ephesians 4 that, you know, the Lord has given to the church apostles and prophets and evangelists and all of these teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body. The saints are you and me, by the way, and all of you who are listening. And he says that the goal is that we exercise these until all of us come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and reach this full stature of Christ. And he goes on to say the following, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. And then he says, but speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, the whole body joined and knit together. So there's a lot of trickery these days. There's a lot of craftiness and deceit. And we are called to speak the truth in love. And we can only do that when the Holy Spirit is fully operative in our lives, when we've had our own Pentecost, when we have allowed the Holy Spirit to be awakened and stirred up within us, and when we're exercising the gifts, the supernatural gifts and charisms of the Holy Spirit, so that we might be, as he says later in Romans, that we might have a sober judgment about ourselves and about all things, and that we might be transformed by the renewing of our minds, and so that we might know, discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And that's when we can then teach the way the Lord wants us to teach, exhort the way the Lord wants us to exhort, be generous as he wants us to be generous, be a leader, be compassionate, be cheerful. And then we see there, John, the marks of the true Christian: love that is genuine, hating what is evil, holding fast to what is good, he says in Ephesians 4, 9 and following, and loving one another with affection, showing, honoring, rejoicing in hope, being patient in suffering, persevering in prayer, and contributing to the needs of others, even extending hospitality to strangers. And so all of this is possible, John, when we have our personal Pentecost, which of course we all have at baptism, but we need to stir it up and live it up.
So the question is, where and how do we get this gift of the Holy Spirit?
Well, we get it when we are born again by water and the Spirit in baptism, when we become not only God's creatures, which we are by creation, but we are then made into God's children, into a new creation, and made co-heirs with Christ, you know, and we inherit his glorious inheritance, and we become temples of the Holy Spirit, God within us. In fact, the dwelling place of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we're born again, as the Lord himself said in baptism when he said to Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you are born again, you cannot inherit or see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus says, how is this going to happen? Am I going to go back into my mother's womb? No, no, you're going to be born of water and the Spirit. You're going to be born from the Spirit. And what is of the Spirit is not of the flesh. And so we see also that he says in Acts 1:5 that John baptized you with water, but in a few days on Pentecost, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And we see also that St. Paul talks about that fact that the gift of the Spirit, the gift of God, is something that comes to each one of us, and we're cleansed. He says in Ephesians 5:26 that we are cleansed by the washing of water with the Spirit. And so we get that through baptism, we get it through confirmation, and we can get a new and fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit every time we pray, and the Holy Spirit decides to come and renew within us, as we saw in Acts of the Apostles. They were regularly praying for more of God in their lives, more love, more power, and sometimes the Holy Spirit would descend upon them again with such power and such signs that even buildings would shake, and they would begin speaking in tongues and praising God, worshiping God, performing healings and miracles. And they were showing that it wasn't just human excitement or fanaticism or mental illness or anything like that, or doing crazy things. No, they were filled with the joy that led them even to desire to be persecuted and martyred for the faith. And that's the type of infilling of the Holy Spirit that each one of us should be praying for Pentecost, especially having our own personal or communal Pentecost vigil, praying for the Holy Spirit to come down on us afresh, anew, so that we don't leave home without Him, so that we don't pray to God without Him, so that we don't try to worship God or serve God or live Christianity or evangelize and minister to others without Him, without the Holy Spirit, without the works of the Spirit of Galatians 5, so that we can put to death the works of the flesh that we see in Galatians 5, and so that we might live a new life. That we get through the sacramental life, John. That we get through prayer, personal prayer, communal prayer. That we get through what many people call a baptism in the Holy Spirit, a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit.
Well, the Holy Spirit is our friend. He's our counselor. He illuminates our hearts and our minds. There's so much that we can receive from the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who manifests Himself as in our personal life and in our walk with Christ. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, the Holy Spirit is our prayer companion, and He's our prayer advocate and guide. In Romans 8, we hear that St. Paul says that the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches hearts, He knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for us before God according to God's will. So when you enter into prayer, that's why I said a moment ago, don't pray without Him. Ask the Holy Spirit to anoint your prayer, to help you with prayer. I don't get out of bed any morning, no morning at all. I get out of bed without praying first to the Holy Spirit. Secondly, John, the Holy Spirit is a miracle worker, and He's a world changer. And so the Lord Himself promised in John 14 that you, if you believe in Me, you will do the works I do and greater far than these. Wow. Greater far than you, Jesus? You raise people from the dead. Yes, with the Holy Spirit, the miracle worker, the world changer, we can do greater works than those. The Holy Spirit is also the lifeguard of the soul. He's our hope reviver. You know, when we're downcast and when we're thinking, oh my gosh, the Lord is gone, we have to wait until His second coming, the Holy Spirit renews within us that hope that things are going according to plan, and that the Lord will return again in glory, and that we can feel that He is guarding our lives as we walk with the Lord. And He's our, in a sense, our life coach, right? He helps us to think and feel like Jesus, to trust and obey like Jesus trusted and obeyed His Father. He helps us evangelize and minister like Jesus, and He helps us even to suffer and die and rise again like Jesus. In other words, He shows us how to love and live like Jesus, both now and forever. And I like to say that the Holy Spirit is our vision keeper. He helps us to see things the way God sees things, to see ourselves as God sees us. And He helps us learn to see time and eternity the way God sees time and eternity, and to live with the eyes of faith, with the eyes of hope, and the eyes of love. So, Holy Spirit, come upon us this Pentecost, because we need You greatly.
We absolutely do. And Martha, final moments that we have in less than 2 minutes. Can you tell us what we can do here these last couple of days to prepare ourselves for this much needed descent of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday and beyond?
Yes, make time for a mini retreat between now and Sunday. Take a few hours, take a whole day if you can. Stir into flame the gift you received at baptism. Pray for a fresh outpouring of grace. ask for these seven gifts to be activated in you and surrender to whatever manifestation of the Holy Spirit comes to you, whatever the Lord has in mind. Find or attend a prayer vigil, a Pentecost prayer vigil, even if it's online. I know that there are different groups like Renewal Ministries. They do a lot of these things on YouTube and so forth. Finish or start again this Sunday the Novena of the Holy Spirit and pray to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, to have the gifts stirred up within you, and pray for a fresh outpouring of the gifts, the charisms, the theological virtues, and growth in the fruit of the Spirit. You're not going to regret it.
It's not too late, still a couple of days to just take a moment and just meditate on everything that we've been talking about. There's a lot to ponder about the power of the Holy Spirit. Martha, how can our listeners find you real quickly?
Yes, you can find, friend me, and follow me at rememberyouareloved.com and at marthafernandezsardina.com. You can watch my 12-part series on love there. You can purchase love outreach items, and you can invite me to speak in your parish or diocese in person or online. And I can tell you personally, remember, you are loved.
And so are you. Thank you so much, Martha Fernandez Sardina, the founder of rememberyouareloved.com. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn's Story Corner.
Here as school winds up for the year and it's yearbook signing season, our story today called Stay As Nice As You Are from Sunny Skies. Brody Ritter attends the Academy of Charter Schools in Westminster, Colorado. When he got his yearbook, he couldn't wait to get signatures, but instead ended up feeling useless. Brody said, "I went up to people and asked them, 'Can you sign my yearbook?' And some were like, 'No.' He collected only two or three names from classmates and just two notes from his teachers. So Brody wrote a yearbook note to himself. 'Hope you make some more friends,' signed Brody Ritter." Reading that note broke his mother's heart. "That was really hard to see and read as a mom," said Cassandra Ritter, who snapped a photo of the note and posted it to a Facebook group for parents at the school. "It was soon, though," she said, "that I was overwhelmed with how much love and encouragement I received for Brody. It was amazing." You see, the post made its way to three upperclassmen, Simone Lightfoot, Logan South, and Joanna Cooper. They spent hours discussing the issue and brainstorming ways to help. Lightfoot said, "So fun having everyone sign your yearbook, and for this kid to only have two people sign their names, that's just soul-crushing." South said, "We all just started planning the next day that we were going to sign this kid's yearbook." The trio rounded up as many students as possible to sign Brody's yearbook, even though none of them had ever met the middle schooler. According to the teens, people were lining up to fill the void in Brody's book. Some even played rock, paper, scissors to see who could sign first. Many of the more than 100 signatures included paragraphs with words of encouragement, advice, and even phone numbers. And right after that, Brody said, "Everyone in the class started signing my yearbook." The teen said they hope the small gesture inspires other kids to be kind. He said, "It just made me feel better as a person. I don't know how to explain it. It just makes me feel better on the inside." His mother said, "It made me feel like there's hope for the school. There's hope for humanity, and there's a lot of good kids in this world." Romans 15:1 reminds us, "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves."
Thanks once again, Glenn, for another powerful story corner. Let's continue to pray for an end to legal abortion in our nation and for peace in Ukraine with Russia. Pray the Rosary with Father Rocky and the Family Rosary Across America, 7 p.m. Central tonight. And also pray the Chapel of Divine Mercy at 3 p.m. Central this afternoon on the Drew Mariani Show. And that'll do it for this edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, for producers Sarah Tafoya, Gabby Burke, our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God bless you. Have a blessed Pentecost Sunday. We'll see you on the next Morning Air. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, the Patrick Madrid Show is up next.